Time to join Keen Manning in studio. He always has an interesting story for us of a historical nature, local connections, international consequences, and back all around again. How does he do it, we ask ourselves, Dimfna?
With a bowl of Weetabix in the morning.
Oh my God, I tell you. Good to see you, Keen.
That's one of the substances.
There you have it. Well, now, look at
other cereal products.
Too much into your private life there now. Flavins, of course, are in the background. Love me, Flavins. But anyway, William J. Kenny, Waterford's British Consul General of the Philippines. Now, he looks like a man got ahead in time.
Yeah, I thought with the kind of cold spell that we could do a kind of sunnier climbs just to
pick us all up.
So we're actually getting to the Philippines today.
Excellent. That's nice and warm there.
Which is quite nice. As you were saying, William Joseph Kenny kind of lied a little bit. He was actually born in Kilkenny.
Ah,
on the 29th of August, 1859. But I thought we'd pass on that because he also went to Mount Sion.
We've claimed him.
I think you may have heard of that school.
He had more than a blah or two.
Yeah. And he actually had plenty of bacon in his blah too, because his father was a bacon merchant. so he was well looked after. So young William, after a period of Mount Sion, went to Blackrock College.
Oh,
so
he was upper crust, was he?
So I would say a bit of rugger.
Right, okay.
Bit of rugger in the background.
Undoubtedly.
And he was preparing for a career in the civil service, and particularly with the consular service.
Oh, he was definitely upper class then. He would have known all about them roundy chocolates that the ambassador has.
Yeah. What's that phrase from Father Ted about the Ferrero Rocher? You spoil us.
Oh, yes.
You spoil us for Ferrero Rocher. I didn't even know where I was going with that.
I had forgotten that entirely, but now you reminded me of it. Quite a well-travelled individual.
Yeah, so like even from quite a young age, obviously preparing for that career, he attends universities in Germany and France. And after 2 years, he enters the first division of the consular service. So like the Premier League, I'd imagine.
Indeed.
Of the British Diplomatic Corps. And he is appointed as a student interpreter to China and Japan.
Wow. How old would he have been?
So this is around 1880, so he would be about 21.
Goodness me.
Yeah, so quite young. So like, if you think of it, the period of time in which he is going to make that journey would probably be, imagine, going to the moon.
Yeah.
Exactly
yeah.
that. Wouldn't be too far off Shogun territory there.
Yeah, very much so.
And obviously had a gift for languages like China, Japan. Wow.
Yeah, and even, I think there's actually a note that he has 12 languages.
12 languages?
All together.
Most of us struggle with one.
As a lot of people have said to me, I struggle with English pretty regularly.
Not us, Keen, not us.
We'd never say that about Keen.
Only when the mic's off. But he was actually really well compensated for his role too. So even when he started off in that job, he was getting £200 per year. So during that time, he learned Chinese at the English embassy in Peking, or modern day Beijing. And this rose to £800.
Wow.
Which was the equivalent of nearly £75,000 in today's money.
For a 21-year-old?
Yeah, that's...
So this would have been maybe the...
22.
The midpoint. Yeah, 20, yeah. 21 and a half.
That's a lot of sweet and sour, regardless of how you look at it.
Keen, genuinely, I'm not even going into it. This is a man who has sweet and sour for his breakfast. I witnessed him have it for his lunch the other day.
I might try it on the Weetabix next time.
One of the greatest inventions of all time. But anyway, we digress.
So he actually spends about 5 years in Japan then, after Beijing, and then obviously has the means in which to decide to take a career break, and he studies law in London up until the early 1890s. And obviously with that qualification, then he receives this really significant position as Registrar of the British Supreme Court in Yokohama.
Goodness me.
So this court was established sort of like the late 1870s, so it was basically to trial British subjects that may have got into trouble or caused crimes in that neck of the world. But the amount of things he's involved in subsequently is just phenomenal.
Oh, sure, I'd say he was on every board going. He's off the charts in his accomplishments.
And even the travelling as well. He's consulate in a city on the southwest coast of Taiwan. He serves as acting consul general in Honolulu, and then he is appointed the British consul general at the Philippines in May 1903. So he resides in Manila, which is, I think, would sound quite pleasant.
Absolutely.
And he becomes friends with, if any American history buffs would love this, he becomes a close acquaintance of future American President William Howard Taft.
Right.
So there's one of the great fake news, one of the great sort of made up bits of history was that William Howard Taft used to get stuck in his bathtub in the White House.
Because he was quite a large
man. He was quite a big man, but it's not true.
Mm.
So I've somewhat propagated the myth by mentioning it.
How do you know it's not true?
A lot of people said it wasn't true.
A lot of people said it was
true.
Yeah, but they
It was actually, that's really interesting.
They were the opposite side of the house.
Because the thing as well was, apparently William Howard Taft was like a sort of career civil servant, judicial figure, and he hated the media, and he never gave any interviews. So they were saying, like, he was kind of hand-picked by Theodore Roosevelt as his successor, but that Roosevelt was so kind of disappointed with him that...
He got stuck in the bath.
That all the criticism William Howard Taft never really combated it.
Mm-hmm.
So just a load of these things kind of grew legs subsequently. A lot of people remember him being the last American president to have facial hair.
Is that right?
Yeah.
He didn't do a second term, I remember.
That's right, yeah. No. Yeah, he was one and done.
Well,
yeah.
If you're going to pull
the plug on him.
Stuck in the bath on a regular occasion. Probably makes canvassing a little difficult. Where is he? He's meant to be on the podium tonight.
Get the butter.
He's at home, stuck in the bath. Wow. Well, that's a very interesting character, but sadly, anyway, his health declined quite a bit, you're saying, on his travels.
Yeah, this is Kenny then. So back to William Howard Taft for a second. He was actually invited Kenny to the White House while he was president. But Kenny is like a really significant figure because he's involved in this trade deal between the British and some of the Asian states. So it was regarding this product called camphor, the camphor tree.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been used for things like scents, embalming fluid, medication.
Camphor balls.
I'd imagine beyond the same,
yeah.
They're like mothballs, aren't they?
It'd be like an essence.
Yeah, that's exactly it. The reason why it was becoming more lucrative was it was being used for celluloid, so the first synthetic plastic. So there was kind of like this kind of proxy war about who could, if you had control of it, you'd be a little bit further ahead in any technological development. So Kenny played a big part in securing the British interest for that. But while he was in the Philippines, he later contracted malaria, and eventually his health was so poor that he moved back to Ireland. He actually settled in Cheek Point in a place called Mount House a few years later.
I wonder if it's still there, Mount House.
Yeah, I was actually trying to think of it myself. Just walking there.
Was it on the outskirts or in the village itself?
I'm not sure, is the honest
answer. Anyone listening this morning, lads, if you're from Cheek Point or let us know.
And if there are any camphor trees.
Indeed. Yeah. And don't forget to get your malaria shots.
But get out of the bath first.
Well, there you have it. But, so God love him. Yeah, so ill health has brought an end to his career.
Yeah, like it's like Phileas Fogg almost, like all the different travelling. And then when you think of all the events and sort of international affairs that he's kind of tied up in, that it's remarkable to think that someone from this neck of the woods achieved that in a period where you think of like,
and again, we'd never heard of him.
You know what I'm going to ask? Did he find love?
No.
Thank God. Because we haven't turned.
Oh, no, come on, there's a story.
No, it's actually the sad part was he went to England, I think, off the top of my head.
That's the Reader's Digest version.
Yes, yeah, this is the PC version. I think it was his brother's wedding. While his brother was on honeymoon, William got ill in England and actually died, I think, quite near Wimbledon. But there is this kind of element of young man should be entering his prime somewhat. Mm. Yeah, he kind of dies somewhat alone.
Oh God.
I brought down the tone again. I was trying to avoid that.
Happy Wednesday.
Just a little bit, but malaria will do that to you, says you. Keane, thank you so very much for all of that. We really do appreciate
Thanks,
it. Keane Manning, our historian extraordinaire, and I loves me county.